Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll be headed to John chapter 15 here in just a few minutes. So Ephesians 6, and then John chapter 15. So Ephesians 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. They're probably fairly familiar to many of you. They speak about children and parents, and specifically fathers here. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to learn from it today and from your great example. Lord, thank you for the wonderful parents, fathers and mothers, that you gave many of us, Lord, that led us in the way of the Lord, that were a good example, that taught us the things of Christ, that took us to church, Lord. We thank you for them today. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be those same kind of parents to our children and to our grandchildren. Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior, for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary, and the example that you left for all of us to walk in your steps today. And we pray if there be one here that's never trusted Christ, that today would also be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Title this morning, what kind of father would Jesus be? I preached a series several years ago on what would Jesus do. Some of you remember those bands that people wore back 15, 20 years ago. It had WWJD on them, and they said, what would Jesus do? And from that grew out, from out of that grew this message today. What would Jesus do if he were a father? What would Jesus do if he were a father? Now, Christ was not a father in the flesh, and I can think of many reasons why he chose not to be. He knew he was going to die at what age? 33 years old. And ascend back to heaven shortly after his resurrection. So he may have chosen not to be a father in the flesh for that reason. Number two, his earthly ministry did not fit with being an earthly father and husband. He didn't have a home that he was at a lot. He traveled most of his ministry years from 30 to 33. God told Jeremiah not to marry in the book of Jeremiah because of circumstances. And Paul chose not to marry as an apostle for similar reasons. Number three that I thought of are the ramifications of the sinless Son of God having children with a sinful human being would be enormous. And number four, the distraction it would have caused from his real purpose, which was to bring people into God's family by spiritual birth, by being born again spiritually, by grace through faith in him, and not by works or acts of the flesh. Just to name a few reasons, I'm sure there are theologians that can come up with more reasons why Christ chose not to be a father in the flesh. But Christ and the Father, God the Father, are what? One. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And we learn that in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God, and all things were made by Him. So Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is the Creator of all things. And being that He is the Creator of all things and is one with His Father, He not only knows what it's like to be a father, but he actually created fatherhood and demonstrated several characteristics throughout his life and ministry which fathers can take to heart to be better fathers. So, as we honor our Father which is in heaven today, let's do so by honoring the institution of fatherhood He created and learn how we might become better fathers, parents, or grandparents today from the life of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, Creator, and our Father in heaven. So we're going to look at a few of those this morning. The first one is this. A father, we learn from Scripture and from Christ's example, and I hope from nature, a father should love his children sincerely and selflessly. Jesus demonstrated this over and over and over again. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave of His only Son. Jesus willingly came and gave of Himself for us, His creation, that we might become also the children of God. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 8, it says, but God commendeth or demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look, if you would, in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. We'll skip down to verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Look in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Or we could insert there also for who? For his family. Okay? No greater love of this than a man lay down his life for his friends or for his family. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down His life for us that we might become His family. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Jesus Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice for us when we were totally undeserving. He loved us, not because we were lovable, but because He chose to love us. He chose to value us despite our sin and our wretchedness. And He died for us on the cross, selflessly, sacrificially. Good fathers willingly make sacrifices for their children. Sad to say, that's not always the case. Sometimes some fathers, it seems, treat their children more like servants and are so consumed with their life's vocation or career, it even happens in the ministry, that their children get forgot or left behind. It should be the other way around. Children are called to obey, but parents should be willing to sacrifice and love selflessly the precious treasures that God gave to them. We thought it important to send our children to Christian school. As you know, Christian school costs money, a lot of money. My parents felt the same way. There were things that we could have had, that we could have enjoyed. There were vacations we could have taken each year that were sacrificed so we could have what we believed was important, a Christian education. My parents willingly, selflessly made sacrifices for that, and we the same. There are many other ways that one can sacrifice and show, demonstrate a selfless and sincere love for your children, and we should be. It describes this kind of love in 1 Corinthians 13, in verses 4 through 7. Charity, another word for love, suffereth long, it's patient, and is kind. Charity envieth not, does not display jealousy. Charity vaunteth not itself, does not exalt self, is not puffed up or arrogant, doth not behave itself unseemly or inappropriately, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. This is the description of God the Father's love for us. This is a description of Jesus' love that he demonstrated for us. This is the kind of love that we as fathers and our parents should be displaying towards our children and grandchildren. We have this opportunity. What are kids lacking most of all in this world? Love. Why is there so much anger and violence and hostility coming out of the youth in this world? They lack love. They lack the love of their parents. And sadly, they do not know the love of God because they have not been introduced to Him. And we see the result of that in our world today. Be that loving parent. Demonstrate the love of Christ. Second of all, a father must not only love his children, but a father must love and respect their mother. A father must love and respect their mother. Although Christ was not married on earth, he is married in heaven, married to the church for which he gave his life, and for which it says in Ephesians 5:24, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." How are husbands to love their wives? How are fathers to love the mother of their children? Even as Christ also loved the church. Christ is our example. The love that he demonstrated in giving his life for his bride, for the church, is an example of how we as fathers and as husbands are to love our wives. You cannot be a good father if you're not a good husband. The two go what? The two go hand in hand. Being a good father and a good husband. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, Peter writes, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." It is vital, Peter writes. It's important, husbands, that you treat your wives with honor and respect, with love. For they need that. For your home needs that. Part of being a good father is being a good husband. A good father is also a good husband to his wife. Fathers, husbands, love your wives. Do not take them for granted. Show them the love, affection, and attention they deserve. And in doing so, you will also make a good home for your children. So fathers are to love their children. They're also to love their wives. Number three, a father should therefore also provide for his family. Fathers are to provide for their families. Some of you know Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Who said that? Jesus said that. Who did he say that to? His disciples. Okay, he said to his disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you." Jesus said to his disciples and those who were there listening, if you will follow me, if you will put the kingdom of God and God's will first in your life, then God says, and I say, I will see that you are provided for. Well, how could Jesus say that? Well, Jesus is God. And in Philippians 4 and verse 19, we read this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what Paul writes to the Philippian church. Who can supply our needs? God can. He can supply them in many ways. He supplies more than just financial needs. There are more needs that children have and families have than just money or roof over their house. God said in Psalms, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the what? The desires of thy heart. God our Father in heaven says, you follow me, you honor me, I will provide for you. And as such, God also expects fathers on earth to take responsibility to provide for their what? For their families. Jesus provided for the needs of his disciples. Even as they served him, they did not go hungry, for he provided for them. And as our families minister and partner with us in life and ministry, we as fathers should see that they are taken care of. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says this. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Those are strong words from the Apostle Paul, saying, fathers, you better provide for your own house. You better see that they are taken care of. One of the main causes of the disintegration of modern society, of the violence and anger and other things we see around us today, is absentee fathers. Fathers who do not take responsibility for their children and their families. Fathers that leave. Fathers that were never there. Fathers who may be there in body, but not there in spirit. God created the home. God created the family to have a mother and a what? And a father. And no matter what the rest of the world says or what society practices or what the intellectuals and elites of our world are teaching, God is more wise. God says children need a mother and a father. And fathers need to provide for their own. And so we even see this in the example of Christ. As he provided for his disciples. As he provided for thousands on two occasions at least. That came to listen to him speak. And were without food. And he fed them. Miraculously, he took care of them. And we need to take care of our families too. So a father should love his children sincerely and selflessly. A father should love and respect the mother of his children, his wife. A father should provide for his family. Next, we see a father should set a good what? Example for his children. A father should set a good example for his children. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 13. If you're still in John 15, you're close there. John chapter 13, look, if you would, in verse 12. I won't read the whole passage and the whole event here, but Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and when they came in, nobody stopped to wash their feet because they get dust on them walking through the dusty roads and sandals in that day. And so it was customary, there was a water basin at the door for people to wash their feet or for a servant to wash their feet when they came into the house. So Jesus went over and he bent down, he picked up the basin of water and he grabbed a towel and he went around washing his disciples' feet. Jesus, the Lord of all, washing the feet, the grimy, ugly, dirty, nasty feet of his disciples. And then he says, if you'll look in verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Jesus demonstrated to his disciples humility and service to one another by picking up that basin of water and doing for them what they would not do for one another. He gave them an example of how to serve and how to be a servant. Fathers should be leading by what? Example. Parents teach more by example than they do by the words they say. Children are not often listening to what you say, but they are tend to watch what you do. And they put more stock in that. Jesus taught his disciples by example. And God expects fathers, parents, to teach their kids by example as well. In John 15:12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have what? Loved you. You've seen an example of love. Now, take the example that you have seen, and you turn around and you do the same to others. Follow my example that you have seen. Kids learn how to show respect for their elders when we show respect. They learn how to treat their future spouse by how we treat our present spouse. They learn how to respond to authority by how we respond to authority. They learn to respond to difficult circumstances in life by how we respond to difficult circumstances in life. They learn how to respond to God by how we respond to God. It is said that children often, to a certain extent, form their opinion of who God is through the example of their father that they look up to. And it's sometimes hard to change their perception of God because their parents, their fathers in particular, were not a good example to them. So be that example. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul had spent time telling, training Timothy, by his example, how to be the right kind of pastor to his congregation. He said, you need to preach the word. You need to be instant, in season, out of season. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be accurate, rightly divide the word of Scripture. You need to study. You need to proclaim the word of God. You need not be ashamed of God's word or your Savior. But he also told Timothy this, if you're going to be a good pastor, you also must lead by what? By example. And the same thing is true about being a good parent. If we're going to be a good parent, we must learn from Christ's example, from Paul's example, that we need to leave a good example. In every aspect of life, what a great responsibility God has left us to teach those who come after us by example, to lead them in the ways and attitudes and the character of the Lord, in patience, in holiness, in self-control, in contentment, in commitment, in kindness. And the list goes on. We need to be an example to our families. Jesus was a good example to all of us. And then a father should train and teach his child in the ways of the Lord. A father should take time to teach and train his child in the ways of the Lord. It's not enough to just bring home the paycheck and put food on the table. Now that is important, don't get me wrong. God has been very clear about that, that fathers are to provide for their families. However, it does not end there. I'm afraid in some people's minds today, it sort of does. Well, when they're little and they're babies, well, that's whose responsibility? The mother's responsibility. And then when they get old enough to go to school, then it's the what? It is the school's responsibility. So if my kid doesn't learn, it's not on me. The school didn't do a good job. No, it is not the school's responsibility. It is the parent's responsibility. And what the school doesn't provide, the parent needs to provide. It is their responsibility to see that their children are taught and trained in the way of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. That word nurture is usually applied to mothers. But God here applies it to whom? To fathers. Because it's also a father's responsibility to lovingly train and to teach and admonish their children. That is your responsibility. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He's speaking to parents, both fathers and mothers. He says, you take these commands to heart, but please, take the responsibility of passing them along to your children seriously, because if you don't, it is going to go badly for them. You have been given the keys to helping them open the doors to loving, glorifying, knowing, serving God, and being blessed by Him. Parents, you have a wonderful and a grave responsibility to train and teach your children in the way of the Lord. Jesus spent the last 3 years of his life on earth training 12 sincere, except for Judas, but often confused and ignorant men, the ways of the Lord as a father would his sons. No, Jesus didn't have any children biologically, but he had at least 12 of them that followed him around for 3 years, and many others as well. These 12 spent nearly every day with Jesus, and each day he taught them by his words. He showed them by his example, and he trained them to be the apostles upon his ascension to heaven, the pillars of the church. They were important men, and Jesus spent time with them, and ladies too, by the way. He did not shirk this responsibility, and neither should we. We spend a lot of time with our kids as they grow up. Our opportunities are less frequent when they get older. It's been a joy to have David home for an extra long period of time, thanks to COVID-19. We're not going to have this extended period of time with him, maybe again in the future, in our home. And it's a joy. and it's an opportunity that will be gone soon. And we need to take the opportunities we're given. And by the way, you don't cease to be fathers and mothers when they become adults. You are still their father and mother. They don't have to obey you as they do when they were children. And you must learn to treat them like adults with their own families. But you're still their father and mother. You can pray for them. You can be a good example. And when you're given opportunities, you can still pass along wisdom. That brings us to the final one here. A father should also discipline his children in love when necessary. Fathers should not leave the disciplining of their children up to the mother, but as the head of the family, be the primary disciplinarian in the home. The words nurture and admonition that we read in Ephesians 6:4 have a disciplining, rebuking, chastening component to them. The word admonish means to discipline. It means to set them straight when they mess up, to rebuke them. Parents today, even fathers, think that their responsibility as a parent is to be their child's chum or buddy or best friend. And they spend their time trying to gain their child's acceptance by doing the things that please them rather than doing the things that please him and being the disciplinarian. It is no fun to be the disciplinarian, but somebody has to be the disciplinarian. And who is it that God gave to children to set them on the correct path, to bring them back onto the correct path, to train them in the things that are right and wrong? He gave them parents. And fathers and mothers are responsible to discipline their children. Jesus not only taught, but also corrected, and at times rebuked his adult disciples. Even though they were not children at the time, he was their teacher, their trainer. He acted in a way as though he was their parent. And he taught them, and at times when needed, he rebuked and he corrected them when they needed it. He praised Peter when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he rebuked and he said, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, you're not going to the cross. That's not for you." He praised them. He positively reinforced that which was good. He used negative reinforcement and rebuke when he needed to. And God does the same thing with us today as his children. Hebrews 12:5 and 6 says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto" what? "Children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he" what? "He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." God said, if you are my child, there's going to come times when you need what? Discipline. And I'm not going to shirk from that responsibility because I what? Because I love you. So God, by example again, shows us how to be a good father and how to be a good parent. It does require discipline. Discipline, not out of anger, not out of envy, discipline out of love. But needed discipline that is desperately lacking, again, in the families of today. Somebody has to tell them right from wrong. Somebody has to correct them, or else they won't learn. And if you wait till they're 16 and they're rebelling to start teaching them, you have started too late. Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from a child. Proverbs 33:14, but thou shalt beat him with a rod. The word beat there means discipline, okay, not beat as we would think it, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. There's nothing wrong with discipline, even corporal punishment that's done lovingly and correctly. Children want. They need it. The world says withhold it. God says they need it. Look around you and you'll see which one is right. For those who have withheld it, their children are going awry. There's a lack of respect, love, obedience to authority today because fathers and parents haven't taken their responsibility seriously. Jesus left us an example. God leaves us an example of fathers how to be a godly father, a father who loves his children selflessly, a father who loves their mother selflessly, a father who provides for his family, who sets a good example, who trains their children in the way of the Lord and doesn't shirk from being the disciplinarian when it is necessary. And likewise, children have responsibilities too. Jesus obeyed his parents. In Luke 2, we learned on Wednesday night, when they said they found him in the temple and they said, okay, it's time to go home. And Jesus said, okay. And he obeyed his parents, even though he was God. He left an example for children to follow. In John 19, we see that Jesus loved his mother as he hung there on the cross. He said to John the Apostle, basically, take care of my mother. He said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus, as he was hanging there on the cross in anguish, demonstrated love for his mother, that somebody needed to take care of her. Evidently, Joseph had already passed. And so he asked the Apostle John. Children have responsibilities too, not just parents. All of us have responsibilities to who? To God. How are you doing in that respect? We have one perfect Father in heaven. He is always faithful. How are you doing as a child? Have you accepted his offer of salvation through the death of his son on the cross? Have you come to him in repentance for having rebelled and sinned against him? If you would today, you can and become his child forever. And parents and fathers in particular, just a reminder this morning, what a wonderful joy and privilege it is to be a father. But it also comes with responsibilities. Joyful ones, but they're there. And let's not forget the example that our Heavenly Father has left. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, for your example that you left to us, for being our perfect Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, help us to learn from your example how to be better servants of Christ, also how to be better parents to our children and grandparents to our grandchildren, in some cases great-grandparents. Lord, help us to take to heart the example that Jesus Christ left us of a loving parent. of a diligent parent, of a selfless parent, of a responsible parent. And Lord, help us to be that. And give you all the glory for what you have done for us and for the parents that you gave us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.